2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we're in the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 25, looking at verses 14 through 30, with a message titled, About Our Father's Business.
And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn this morning to Matthew chapter 25. We continue our study in the Gospel of Matthew and the Olivet Discourse. We come to the parable of the talents today, found on page 987. We have the privilege to come to the table this morning. If you're a visitor here, we are grateful that you're here. You're welcome to join us at the table if you can confess that you have been baptized and you are baptized and professing member of a Protestant church where the elders oversee the preaching of the gospel, the administration of the sacraments, and the application of church discipline. If you're not a member of a church or have not professed faith or been baptized, I'd love to talk with you after the church. We ask you to abstain. But if you can affirm those things, you are welcome to join us this morning at the table of the Lord. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14, this is our text this morning. And we'll read to verse 30. This is the word of the Lord. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Beloved in the Lord, there are unique statements in the parables of Christ that really bring out the heart of issues in life. Parables are wonderful to study, and there's so much to learn from them. You'll remember that Jesus is giving in the Olivet Discourse, at least at this point in where we are in this study of Matthew, he is giving to help us and shepherd his people through what to expect in this present age. And the heart of his concern has been so far that people would be awake, that they would be alert, that they would be able to discern the sign of the times, all of the very troubling things that are happening in this world. Jesus described and told us, in a sense, how to read the providence of these things as birth pains that are preparing us for the end. The concern of Jesus is that many are not thinking about this, many are not prepared for this, and he gave an interpretive clue. He gave an interpretive challenge for us when he said, before he comes, it will be business just like usual in the world. It will be like the days of Noah, where the people are eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and then one day the rains came and took them all away. While Noah was a preacher of righteousness and called people to enter the ark, it's a whole gospel message he was giving to enter Christ. At the heart of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 24 is a concern, and that really comes out in Matthew 24 with this line where he says, "Watch, therefore, for you do not know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man will come." There always needs to be a readiness because it comes when no one expects it. And last time he gave a whole parable about that. He's given a series of three parables here. The second parable was the parable of the ten virgins. And he used that parable to describe what a prepared life looks like and what a prepared unprepared life looks like. And he helped us with that. But now he attaches another parable that if someone were to come along and hear all this, they might ask the question, what do you want from us? What do you want from us? How do we be ready? I have no idea how to be ready. I don't feel ready. I don't think I live life very ready. And Jesus gives surprising insight in this parable on this question to really characterize who are the ready servants. It's a remarkable parable. He already gave us an indication of what he is after. It's Luther's great line I keep saying, if you know the Lord's coming tomorrow, go ahead and plant the tree today. Blessed is that servant who, when his master comes, he will find him so doing. Active. Active in service. Now, many people are active. What is he talking about? Remember, Jesus spoke in such a way as to the blessedness of a certain kind of life, and we misunderstand blessing in the scriptures. He said, blessed is that servant when his master comes, he finds doing. The way that Jesus speaks of blessing is like a beatitude here, and it is descriptive of the children of God. He's not saying you will be blessed if then you do this. He's describing blessed people. You are blessed, and this will be what is true of you. Well, I think Jesus surprises us with this parable to show us the relationship with God that makes for the ready servant. Meaning that the truly ready servant knows his master. It's not as if he's waiting to find out what his master will be like to him when he comes. He already knows it. That was the same kind of emphasis in the parable of the ten virgins. Their whole life had been preparing for this. And this is beautiful. It's an encouragement as we come to the table in a moment, because it's not so much about our service that makes us ready. It's what's driving the service that makes us ready. It's what's driving the service that makes us ready. Because we see something about our master. And I'm going to explain that as we go. After the parable of the 10 virgins, Jesus now tells another parable to have each hearer consider their service in the kingdom of God and how they relate to the master who's coming. You'll notice in verse 14, he begins, "For it will be like a man going on a journey." What will it be like? "The coming, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." So all involvement in the kingdom of God is like this, Jesus is saying. This is really a great man who owns a kingdom. He owns everything in the kingdom. It's all his. And he decided to go away for a time. But this good man, this really good man, did something remarkable. He actually gave a stewardship, his own property and his own riches to servants. And they were to work for him. And they were to make results for him. Notice I said that, work for him. Christ says, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability, and then he went away. It's a remarkable thing. He gives his own wealth to them to be stewards, and they were supposed to capitalize and invest on this. It seems to me Jesus is not so against capitalism from this text, is he? Remarkable thing. He gives his wealth to them. In the ancient world, a talent was a kind of measure of weight and even a unit of coin value. And in general, it was known that a talent was no less than 600,000 or 6,000, excuse me, denarii, which would have been in our time hundreds of thousands of dollars. A lot of money. What is represented in the parable is that each talent was extremely valuable. Each talent that he dished out and gave to them, since it was given from this master to be in his service. I think Ryle is very helpful when and defines this so spot on when he says, "A talent is anything whereby we may glorify God." Our gifts, our influence, our money, our knowledge, our health, our strength, our time, our senses, our reason, our intellect, our memory, our affections, our privileges as members of Christ's church, our advantages as possessors of the Bible, all our talents. It's really describing all our whole lives and all the opportunities that the Lord gives. And that's right on in verse 14. He says, he gave talents, each one according to his ability. So it's really the opportunities that flow out of those abilities that are the talents. Now, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's monies. This is remarkable imagery that Jesus is giving to us. We all have hands, we all have feet, we all have minds, we all have abilities. And God assigns all kinds of things, opportunities for being active in his kingdom. Well, the picture here is that Jesus Christ is that man who has traveled to a far country, if you will. Right now, he is not with us. He is seated in heaven, and at some point, he's coming. At some point, he's coming. And you see, in this interim time, he has poured out gifts from heaven. And he assigns in his house gifts and opportunities. And you think the real emphasis so far here is that Jesus never envisioned, and think of our society today, he never envisioned his servants being idle. You have a whole chapter on this in 2 Thessalonians 3 on the dangers of idleness. And here's the bigger kingdom picture. We're left to be his witnesses. He left us here for a purpose. His kingdom is advancing. There is service in his name for his glory, for the furtherance of his gospel priorities. That's 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now take again Jesus' statement. Blessed is that servant, when his master comes, he will find him so doing. In this period between the first and second coming, he's entrusted a great stewardship. Everything's his. I think that's the shocking thing about the one servant. Everything is this master's. The cattle on a thousand hills is his. Life is hard. Whether you're a mother at home dealing with all the challenges of raising children, whether you're a father who goes out to the same job every day, all the hardship, all the challenges of this in life, same routine, feel like maybe you're going nowhere, I stop and say, consider the peculiar blessing of what this parable describes. You are his kingdom servants. You serve him. Whether you eat or drink, you do all to the glory of God. Now, big picture. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of these servants, the master, the owner, he came and settled accounts with them. That's the second coming. That's what he's capturing. Now, the heart of this comes in verses 20 through 23. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, very literal rendering here in verse 20, Lord, 5 talents to you I delivered. Look, 5 talents to me you delivered. 5 talents, I'd mess it up. Let me do that again. Lord, 5 talents to me you delivered. Look, 5 other talents I've gained. He's ecstatic. He's overjoyed. He's overwhelmed. Look what I was able to bring back. And the master comes back and says, bravo! Well done! You were faithful over a little. I'm going to set you over much. Enter into, notice this language here. This is very purposeful. Enter into the joy of your master. Notice the master doesn't pick apart the work here. You know, if your child comes to you, and I've had this over the years, and says, Dad, look what I drew. It's a picture of you. It's like 2 hairs. And I'm a little heavy. I don't pick apart the picture. I don't get mad. I rejoice that she drew me, no matter what it looked like. This is a good master. And he says, you're a good and faithful servant. It's beautiful. This is beautiful. There's joy on both ends here. And what you can't miss on the part of the servant is the absolute sense of the privilege and joy of working for this man. I am so overjoyed to be able to bring back more. I am so thankful to return your money like this. I am so thankful to have a place in your vineyard to work. The same thing happens with the second servant who was given 2 talents. He comes back and says the very same thing. Jesus didn't have to include that. It's done for emphasis, but it always amazed me that he did include it. You would look at this person and say, he didn't really do much in the kingdom. No, but he doubled the work that he, according to the opportunities that he had. And he's bringing it back with happiness. Even the cup of cold water mentioned in the final judgment seems like nothing. But he brought it in Christ's name to somebody. Now, what is the picture that you're getting here? The picture that you're getting here is on Judgment Day. When Christ comes, the Lord has already told us in chapter 20, he's rewarding works. All according to grace. The works that were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. Here's what I want you to think about. Verse 2. It's the relationship with the master that you can't miss. This is why I said Jesus gives us a clear exposure as to who's ready. And it's not really what you think. You can't miss it. There's something about that relationship. There's something about the servants in relation to their master who love his will. My first job, maybe it was second. First job was washing cars. But the first job after that was working at a men's clothing store in Hanford, Van Andel's. And he was a very good businessman, John Van Andel. I respected John. Everyone respected John. I sold suits left and right. I ran the tuxedo department. I can size you all up, no problem. It is not an issue. I made that man a lot of money. I'm pretty sure he retired early because of me. He put me in charge of a lot. There were times I could have stopped and thought, all this energy, all this sweat, times he got in my face. It should be mine. You see? I'm doing all this work. It should be mine. I never really thought like that. You know why I didn't think like that? Because this was a great man. He was a remarkable businessman. And it was an honor to work at Van Andel's. I could have taken a different attitude. Our lives are not our own. Nothing we have here is ours. And what we see initially is servants who love the master and serve him with gladness. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know the Lord. Know that the Lord is God, right? It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. These are the ready servants. But I still haven't answered how you get to a place like that. Before that, let's just briefly look at this other servant. He also, who had received the other talent, came forward. Now listen to this. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. See that attitude? What is yours? Listen to what he says of the master. I knew you to be hard, cruel, strict, merciless, demanding, unrelenting. You're a cruel man. Reaping where you've not sown and gathering crops where you've not scattered seed. You understand that? You just take from the harvest where all these other workers are.
That's all the time we have for you today. We thank you for tuning in to us here on Abounding Grace Radio, Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time for part 2 of this message from Pastor Chris. Until then, God bless.